Hey guys, welcome back to Star Craving Madness. This is Britt, and today I have a pretty cool podcast for you guys. It's a pretty dope topic. I made sure that you guys were gonna like it. Lex is taking a nap currently. They stayed up a little bit too late, so it was a bit better. We're gonna drop a few episodes for you guys tonight as well, so get ready for that. And without further ado, we will get right into this. So today I'm going to be talking about, and I found this dude literally by Googling number one worst serial killer, and he popped up. Like, this is the dude that popped up. So he popped up with a whopping 200 plus victims. So, let's get into it. Harold Shipman is his name. Harold Frederick Shipman, but I, for the time being, am going to save some time and call him Fred, because everyone else called him Fred that knew him, apparently. And it's just going to keep it simple for you guys. So, Fred was born in Nottingham in 1946. So this is this case is a pretty back there case. But anyway, he was a pretty smart child, and he gained an interest at a young age for medicine from watching his mom receive medicine and morphine injections to ease her pain during her lung cancer until her death. And with most serial killers and stuff, there is something along the lines of this in there early on. They either lose somebody, or they see somebody die, or they find a body, or they're intrigued by, I don't know. But this dude is a little different because his started out as, you know, wanting to do good, but it seems he didn't stay on that path for very long as far as mental. So anyway, Fred was his mom's favorite child. And so she had three kids. He was the middle child. And I don't know if you guys have siblings and stuff, but Fred was put on a way bigger stool than the other two kids were. Like, she instilled early on a sense of superiority that basically made it pretty hard for Fred to become friends with anybody in school or do anything that normal kids do, because she was so attached to him that she made him believe he was perfect, and she was perfect, and nobody would ever take his mama's place and would be able to. So all he really did as a kid was take care of his mom until she passed away. And so it was a super, super hard hit for Fred when his mom died. And after she died, he was super devastated, and it was at this point that he would go to medical school. And he was admitted to Leeds University, but Mr. Perfect actually failed his entrance exams, the first time. So he then served as a hospital internship position. And later down the line, at age 19, Fred met his wife when she was about 17, and she became pregnant with their first child. In 1974, Fred would be, a married man, he would be a father of two, and he would also then kind of bump it up a little bit more and join a medical practice in Yorkshire, where he got pretty big and found a passion being a family practitioner. And, you know, he was doing pretty good for himself. He wasn't on a bad track at all at this point in his life. But sadly, Fred lost this opportunity because he, like a lot of people that work in pharmaceuticals or anything with medicine, eventually do. They, especially with issues from early on that they haven't dealt with, they will deal with it and get addicted to painkillers. And so that's what happened. Fred became addicted to painkillers and he forged prescriptions for super large amounts of drugs and had gotten caught doing so by colleagues in like 1975. So Fred obviously lost his job because like you're not going to keep your job after that. And so he checked himself into rehab and received like a small fine and a conviction for forgery. So he was at a pretty rough point in his life. And so a few years later, Fred got accepted onto the staff of Donnybrook Medical Center in Hyde. So I don't know how he did that with that being, I don't know if that went on his record forever or what when he got the prescriptions forged and shit, but I guess Donnybrook didn't really look too much into him. I don't know. So anyway, at Donnybrook, he basically like played it cool. And he was this, you know, hardworking doctor who enjoyed his patients' and colleagues' trust. And apparently he was pretty arrogant towards, like, his junior staff. So he still had it ingrained in his head that he is hot shit as an adult. So somehow, even though he had, like, a shit personality, he stayed there for almost 20 years. Sadly. And this is unfortunate as fuck because so many people lost their lives because he got hired here and yeah, people liked him. So he was at Donnybrook for a while. And while he was there, the local undertaker started noticing that Fred's patients were dying in pretty high rates. And in some pretty, pretty weird similar ways in death, like as far as posture-wise. Because most of his patients, the undertaker said, were fully clothed and they were either sitting up or they were reclining on a couch. And so the undertaker went to Fred and was like, yo, Fred, like, what's up with all these dying people coming from you? Like, they're seeing you, and then your patients are offing in hella big numbers. And Fred was like, well, don't worry about it, dude. Everything's chill. So I guess, like, the undertaker just took his word for it, and he was, like, semi-off the hook there. Until, another colleague, okay? Dr. Suthan Booth alerted the local coroner's office. And, like, you know, all these people are just dying after being taken care of by the same dude. I don't know what he expected to happen. So, people obviously started asking questions. It's suspicious as fuck. So, the coroner's office then contacted the police because, it's just what you do, you know? It's what you're supposed to do. They actually didn't seem to botch it. This is one case that they didn't botch. And it's a crazy case because it ends up being a huge, huge investigation. It starts out small, but it's crazy. So, bunch of dead people, what the fuck, time to investigate. So, they investigate good old Fred and he gets cleared. Somehow, I don't know. I guess he's good at cleaning up his tracks or like he's good at talking. I don't know. So his records looked pretty official and everything like added up. But for whatever reason, I couldn't figure out why, they later decided to take a second look. And would you look at that? Would you just look at it? Fred was changing his patient's medical records to basically say whatever the fuck he said happened when they died. So he was pretty on target at this point when they figured this out because, you know, you can't do that. So they genuinely got some weird shit going down here at this hospital. So, you know, they have their eye on him. And so they're looking in his direction and this woman, okay? And this is what blows the roof off the place. This woman, her name is Angela Woodruff. She shows up after her mom passed away in the care of Fred. Now remember, Fred has built this image of himself being this like super caring family doctor and he's super nice. He's just like living life, you know, being a doctor, saving lives, doing what they do, you know? No, he wasn't doing that. But it's what he was supposed to be doing anyway. That's what Angela thought he was doing. So anyway, he's a phony baloney and was acting like a phony baloney. So a bunch of people found it hard to believe that this dude was doing anything wrong. So when he fucked with Angela, he basically fucked with the wrong chick. Angela was also a lawyer. And when her mom passed away in her home, after she saw Fred, she was like, what happened to my mom? Like, why is she dead now? And Fred was like, oh, well, like, don't do an autopsy. She died this way. Trust me. Like, no need to be digging into this with an autopsy report. Let's just chill out here. And your doctor usually doesn't tell you to do that. I don't know about y'all's doctors, but, you know, it's not usually a thing. So, as anyone would in a weird-ass situation where your mom dies after seeing a doctor and the doctor advises specifically against an autopsy, red flag alert, not only this, but another ding ding ding, Angela's mom was pretty wealthy. She got the green in the bank. And guess what? Fred knew that. So Angela, being as her mom was like 81 years old, took care of her mom's finances. So Angela got a bomb dropped on her a little bit later on. She discovered another will existed. And it left, you ready for this? The bulk of her mom's estate to Fred. Obviously, she was like, wow, that's my mom's doctor. Why the fuck is my mom's estate going to the doctor? You know? That's not normal. So she did the obvious thing and called the cops. So let me tell you what Fred did, okay? They dig up Angela's mom to, like, check out the case and the cause of the death again, and they discovered that she died of a morphine overdose. It was administered 3 hours, basically within the time of her death, exactly in the time frame of Fred visiting her. Would you look at that? So they bust up in Fred's house, and here they found, like, medical records. They had an odd collection of jewelry that he just had around, because, like, dudes do that, right? And an old typewriter, which good old Fred used to forge Angela's mom's will. So they found all these medical records, okay, of all these people and the police. If you think about it, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of potentials, dude. There were a lot of bodies rolling out of this dude's office. So they were like, shit, like, this is gonna be a bit bigger of a case than we thought. So there were tons of freaking patients. They started looking into all the patients who hadn't been cremated because Fred's fucked up ass would urge the families to cremate their loved ones. And if they asked any questions on what the cause of death was, he'd just show them the bullshit he put in. And they would trust him because he's, like, the nicest doctor they trusted and that had been coming over and taking care of their sick and elderly family. So, he basically did that, too. So, this dude's just an asshole all around. Anyway, so they looked into those people, and then they also looked into those who died after a home visit from Fred, a.k.a. good old Dr. Death. So, police start building this big-ass case, like, tons of patients, tons of, like, victims, potentially, against Dr. Death. Because this dude was at this place, remember, for 20 years, almost. So, what they found out and pieced together is this. Fred was, in most cases, altering his dead patient's medical records to match his story. But what smartass Dr. Death didn't think of in the years he was secretly killing people is that every patient he altered the medical record of, there was a little timestamp to account for every record he had altered and when he altered it. So, the police knew whose records he changed. So, since they found the names of all of his potential victims, they had to begin exhuming bodies and doing autopsies. Now, could you imagine having to bury your loved one? Okay? Your loved one passes away. It's your mom. It's your grandma. It's your... I don't know who it is, but it's somebody. And you think that they're good. They're, you know, the whole funeral's over with. It's good. Everything's peaceful, you know. These people are still in mourning. And they have to exhume their loved ones' bodies and do an autopsy again. Because they might have been murdered. So, that's pretty fucked. This dude fucked a lot of people. So, Fred was charged with 15 individual counts of murder on September 7th, 1998, as well as one count of forgery. His trial was at the Crown Court on October 5th, 1999. And his defense team tried really hard to get his trial, like, split into separate phases instead of all 15 counts on one case. And this was obviously thrown out. But the defense argued that Fred killed the 15 patients because he enjoyed exercising control over life and death and dismissed any claims he was being compassionate, as apparently, like, none of his victims were suffering even a terminal illness. So, they weren't even terminal. Like, this dude never had a patient that was given a reason to just croak then. And it is crazy. So, the team actually did a pretty good job on getting this dude locked up. Woodruff appeared as his first witness. And she did a damn good job. She basically went up there and said what she needed to say, and when Shipman's defense went to undermine her, they couldn't. And so then the government pathologist led the court through, like, the gruesome postmortem findings where morphine toxicity was the cause of death in most of the instances. And then fingerprint analysis was done of the forged will that showed that Grundy had never handled the will, and her signature was dismissed by a handwriting expert as a crude forgery. So they proved that she didn't sign the will over to him. And a police computer analyst testified that Shipman had altered his computer records to create symptoms that his dead patients never had, in most cases within hours of their deaths. So, as the trial progressed, though, onto other victims and the accounts of their relatives, the pattern of, like, of Fred's behavior became a lot clearer. He showed a huge lack of compassion and disregard for the wishes of attending relatives and was reluctant to attempt to revive patients if they were bad enough. But another fraud also came to light. He would pretend to call the emergency services in the presence of relatives, then cancel the call out when the patient was discovered to be dead. Telephone records actually show that no actual calls were made. So finally, at the end of the trial, the evidence of his drug hoarding was introduced, with him false prescribing to patients who didn't like need morphine and over prescribing to the ones that did take it, and proof of his visits to the homes of the deceased to collect up unused drug supplies for what he said was disposal. So Fred's demeanor throughout the trial didn't really help his defense. His defense was trying to paint a pretty good picture of a dedicated healthcare professional, but he was pretty fucking arrogant, and he changed his story a lot. So when they caught him out in obvious lies, they didn't really do much to endear him to the jury. So, nobody actually witnessed Fred killing any of his patients, but this case was so crazy just by fact that the jury were convinced by the testimony and evidence that Fred was guilty on literally all charges. So he got 15 counts of murder and one of forgery on the afternoon of January 31st, 2000. That's crazy. This dude did this for a while. So the judge passed 15. That's a long-ass time. 15? 15 life sentences, as well as a 4-year sentence for forgery, which he commuted to a whole life sentence, effectively removing any possibility of parole. So Fred was incarcerated at Durham Prison. I think I'm saying that right. I'm not entirely sure. Durham. And the fact that a doctor killed 15 patients made the medical community just lose their shit. Like, it made people look at his patient history a little bit more. So according to this article, there was a they had to prove insignificant in light of further investigations that delved more deeply into his patient caseless history. A clinical audit conducted by Professor Richard Baker at the University of Leicester examined the number and pattern of deaths in Shipman's practice and compared them with those of other practitioners. And it found that rates of death among his elderly patients were significantly higher and clustered at certain times of day, and that Fred was in attendance in a disproportionately high number of cases. And then the audit goes on to estimate that he may have been responsible for the deaths of at least 236 patients over a 24-year period. Separately, on an inquiry commission chaired by High Court Judge Dame Janet Smith, when they examined the records of 500 patients who died while in Fred's care, the 2,000-page report concluded that it was likely that he had murdered at least 218 of his patients, although this number was offered by Dame Janet as like an estimate rather than a precise calculation, so it could have been more, it could have been less than 218. but a certain cases presented insufficient evidence, they couldn't prove it. So he might have been, from what they thought, addicted to killing. And the lack of experience of the investigating officers resulted in missed opportunities to bring Fred in earlier on. Because he might have taken his first victim within months of obtaining, like, his license to practice medicine. So, 67-year-old Margaret Thompson, who died in March 1971, was the one that they think was his first one. And she died in March 1971 while recovering from a stroke, but deaths prior to 1975 were never officially proven. So he went from basically this British patient killer to the most prolific known serial killer in the world. And he remained at Durham Prison throughout these investigations because they did investigate a lot of his potential victims while he was still locked up, just to, like, kind of figure out how many victims he had, but they couldn't really find much. He remained at the prison throughout the investigations and still claimed innocent. His wife and his family defended him, and he was moved to Wakefield Prison in June 2003. And, you know, he got to see his family while he was locked up for murdering hundreds of people. Because that's fair. Anyway, on January 13th, 2004, Fred was discovered hanging in his prison cell at Wakefield, having used bed sheets tied to the window bars of his cell. There is a lot of mystery, weirdly enough, about the whereabouts of his remains. Some claim that his body is still in a Sheffield morgue, while others think that his family might have custody of his body. I don't know. I don't care. A lot of his family believe he might have been murdered in his cell. And I don't know. I think they're trying to figure it out. I don't know. But this dude was pretty fucking crazy. Like, he, to kill that many people, and the fact that he did it for so fucking long, dude, is insane. He killed over 200 people. Potentially. And I guarantee you he did, because most people, 20 years, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of potential victims. And they said that he started in, like, 1975. So, a little bit after he got his medical license. That's fucked. Like, that's a long-ass time, and that's a lot of victims and a lot of families. So, this dude is called Dr. Death for a reason. He's also known as the Angel of Death. But that's all on this case. He's gone now. There's no more Dr. Death. I think there was one case of somebody that tried to kind of copycat him, or maybe they did the same thing. I think it was a Russian case, though. That was the other one. I can't remember. I'll have to look it up. But there is another serial killer that is named Dr. Death. I can't remember. I found him, too, looking up this dude, which was extremely confusing and inconvenient. But yeah, there's two of them, but this dude is one of the biggest potential serial killers to live. But yeah, tell me what you guys think. I liked this case a lot just because, honestly, I thought the name Dr. Death sounded super cool. Not saying he's super cool because that's whack as fuck. But, to our new listeners, welcome. To our old listeners, welcome back. I'm sorry for all the podcasts being a little wacky lately. It is crazy right now. We will have more episodes drop for you guys, so wait up for that. We're also eventually gonna have a little bit more of a personal surprise for you guys later on. We gotta figure some things out, but we might be getting a little something going on where we can send things out to our viewers. And I wanted to thank everybody that joined the podcast, that listens to the podcast. Lex is usually doing this with me if you guys are just joining. But, you know, we'll be dropping two more tonight. Hopefully. Fingers crossed. We might only be able to get one. Fingers crossed for two, though. But if you guys haven't heard of us, we're Star Craving Madness. I'm Britt, and I do this with my best friend, Lex. And you can follow us on Twitter. We are Stark Raving Madness P. And then you can also find us on Facebook, Stark Raving Madness Podcast. And you can follow us on Anchor as well, because Anchor is how we do everything. Anyway, I hope you guys have a good day, had a good night. I hope you guys are having a good spooky season. Don't let COVID get you down too much, because I know it's a bit crazy out there right now. But you guys have a good day. We'll have more for you, and spread the word, share it. Don't get too depressed and messy for the spooky season. And honestly, I think you guys should wear my Halloween mask this month. I think everyone should. There is not a rule that says that we cannot turn our masks into Halloween masks. So, I think everybody should do that. I don't know why people don't do that on a regular anyway. Anyways, I'll be checking you guys out later. Bye.